Casting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia. It's episode number 339 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag fights back against Prisoners of the Moment. At 12:30, J.D. Lewis answers our fantasy football questions. And in mere minutes, we continue examining Texas Okie State. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today is a guy who can talk hoops, sports, music, and a whole lot more. We call him Zay on the morning show. It is Isaiah Collier. Zay, thank you as always. How you doing today?
Pretty good, Trey. I wish my wife was as cool as Wendy, that's for sure.
And sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if you don't let him do what he wants to do on the couch late at night. It is Chad Hastings.
Ah, you damn right. Hope everybody is having a good Thursday. Like I always tell people, my life is an open book. Often that book is sad and boring, but it is an open book. I will tell you just about anything if you want to know.
That was one of the funniest pre-show moments I think we've ever had, and fortunately for us, it wasn't on microphone, because we may very well be canceled right now.
That is true. That is true. But yes, that I think I may have revealed too much right before the show started. But it is Thursday. We hope you are not revealing too much. Coach Gruden would tell you from earlier in the week that you can reveal a little bit too much about yourself when you're sending work emails. So just make sure you're careful. You know who you're talking to and who you're talking around and all that good stuff.
Let's maybe avoid certain words too.
Avoid certain words. Right. We got to take certain words out. Again, I would just recommend one of my favorite TV shows of all time. Go back through old All in the Family episodes and just mark, just think of when words are said, you go, huh. Is that one I want to put in a work email? No, probably not. What about that one? Nope, nope. What about that one? What did George Jefferson just say? Yeah, you probably don't want to say what he just said.
Yeah, I think there's certain words that at this point, if you're going to continue using them, you're probably going to want to attribute them to somebody else at the very best, just to try and avoid that trouble if and when it comes down the pipe.
Yes, if you're quoting a movie, a song, just make sure you have your notations ready.
Yeah, or some racist neighbor.
Make sure. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Well, you know what racist Billy says right down the hall.
You know our neighbors who display the Confederate flag in the garage that everybody can see from street level? Yeah, guess what he said the other day.
They like to say. All right, it is Thursday. We have a busy show, as always. Trey laid it out for you. And why don't we just go ahead and get started with the spec set piece, because there's some rearrangement going on for the Texas Longhorns. Here we go.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Cheer on Verde with Specs' larger selection of world-class wines, spirited spirits, and craft beers. Score more at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
Boy, am I glad you pay attention to the depth chart, Chad. You know that's something that I hate to even look at most weeks, but you always take at least a glance to see if there's some nuggets that we can extract, and you clued me into this one. This is something that I had totally neglected up until about 30 minutes ago. So what was the big change or changes that you noticed in the past few days with regards to this Oklahoma State depth chart?
So we obviously focused in on those two injuries and what it meant for depth chart. So we focused in on, okay, so with Jones out, what does it mean? Alfred Collins discussion. With Whittington out, what does it mean? Marcus Washington discussion. And then yesterday, I can't remember what it was that I heard. Maybe I heard somebody make mention of it, and it was some reference to shake up an offensive line or change an offensive line. I was like, oh, let me take a peek at that. And then I take a peek, and I realize, oh, there'll be three guys playing offensive line positions this week that weren't playing those positions last week. So Christian Jones is still your left tackle, and Jake Majors is still center, but this depth chart lists Junior Angelau as Junior Angelau as your left guard, lists Tope Amade as the right guard and now has Derek Kerstetter back out at right tackle. So not a position he hasn't played ever, but he didn't play it last week. They obviously started Carrick out on the right side. So Trey, Carrick goes back to being the backup at both tackle positions. Obviously, in going back and looking at the film, I guess they did not see enough from Carrick to justify that move, and they realize we got to get Kerstetter back out there.
I have to admit, that's a bit surprising. Based on people who understand what's happening on the offensive line a whole lot better than I do, saying, look, Carrick, regardless of starters or backups, has looked as tenacious and as ready as just about anybody else playing that offensive line. And yeah, does it suck Denzel Okafor is out for the year with an injury? It does. But the silver lining there is that you get one more hungry dog on that line playing the right tackle position. I wonder, because we've seen him at left tackle in the past, if you were maybe better off switching he and Christian Jones. I guess thankfully for us Longhorn fans, he wasn't at left tackle, at least based on how he performed at right tackle. And now you're seeing a multitude of changes as a result. And I hope that they can finally figure something out with regards to some consistency on the left side of that line by flipping Angelau over there, putting Kerstetter back to right tackle, and then trying another guy who has been in this program, I think, as long as Denzel Okafor has, with Tope Amade.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, I'd love to tell Longhorn fans that this is terrific news. I think from the beginning of this season, we've all had, everybody that follows this, I think, has had the same basic theory on Kerstetter. The best situation for him is right tackle. I mean, Tom Herman tried to convince us he was going to translate to center at the pro level.
His best position at the pro level was center. You sure about that, Tom?
But he's also the guy that, when asked why is Kerstetter playing center when he's been pretty good out at tackle, Tom Herman's answer was, because nobody else can do it. It's
yeah.
Like, okay, well, those two things are different.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of got trapped in that one. So I like the idea that Kerstetter's back out there, but I don't feel like Kerstetter's back out there because they feel solidified at those other places, specifically left guard. I feel like he's out there because they didn't like what Carrick gave them. I'll admit, I didn't watch that game and think Carrick was awful, but I don't know how to grade offensive line like they do. If they went back and saw something bad and wanted to change it, that's fine. So I think there's good and bad news here.
It seems like Jake Majors really struggled versus Oklahoma last week, too. And he's been pretty solid at center, even as a younger guy playing that position. You thought his performance would only improve moving Kerstetter to the inside. It's one more veteran influence, a guy who played the position previously. But perhaps that's part of the thinking as well, that for whatever reason, Jake was more uncomfortable because of the uncertainty at right tackle, or perhaps Kerstetter's presence next to him has some sort of impact too. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm glad these coaches, at least with this position, are trying to be a little bit more proactive with figuring out the right formula, because what was happening last week and what we've seen in both the losses now is an unacceptable performance from this offensive line that makes it much more difficult for your team to win football games.
And we're talking two straight weeks where the strength of the opposing team is their front.
Right. And that's going to continue being the case going forward, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Baylor's got a good front. Iowa State has a good front. Kansas State, their strength is usually their front. Kansas, well, they're Kansas, but you have a ton of opponents left that are really going to challenge you at that point of attack, making it more difficult for you to give that adequate performance that we need out of this group right now for Texas to beat the better teams left on the schedule.
Yeah, this is a wild matchup this week. The more I continue to hear about, you know, Gundy, this Oklahoma State team, think about the matchup, talk about the matchup. I did an interview in Oklahoma yesterday on a podcast, somebody, you know, an Oklahoma State guy talking about the game, and you can tell they are, you know, they've had to make the switch in their brain, too, of going to a defensive mindset, going to a grind-it-out mindset. I heard Rod and Kevin talking yesterday as I'm driving home, RBKD, and Rod bringing up there's a interview that Gundy did where he admitted going to his offensive, I think this is the offensive coordinator in a given week this year and saying, let's keep it around 50-55 plays.
Hmm.
And the response was like, are you crazy? What are you talking about? We can't do that. And I don't know if they hit exactly the number they wanted, but they stayed somewhere around there. But that's what they want to do. They want to take it all the way down. And Texas ran like, was it 61 against Oklahoma? 81-61, that's not good because, you know, with 20 more plays. But Gundy used to be the guy that wanted to run 80 plays. He used to be that guy. Now he's completely changed. So I'll keep going back to the K-State mindset. Remember those K-State games you'd watch in Manhattan where you realized Bill Snyder was taking possessions from you? Remember those kind of games? Mm-hmm. Where you'd get to the end of the first quarter and go, wait a second, has Texas only had the ball one time? Just once? And we're 2 minutes into the second quarter? I think that's the way Gundy wants to play now. And I'd really be concerned for this matchup with Texas if this was in Stillwater. If he could get him in his place with that crowd the way they can be. But even here, that style difference is a fascinating part of this thing. The Longhorns don't necessarily want to speed it up an incredible amount, but they've got to go faster than Gundy wants them to.
Well, they've been really good when they've gone with a lot of pace throughout the course of the season. It's what's gotten this offense on track quicker since Casey Thompson has come into the lineup. The problem is that you have one less wide receiver that the opposing defense is having to worry about now with Jordan Whittington being out. So they can commit more guys to try and stop Bijan Robinson early on, and they can now commit that extra guy to Xavier Worthy without having to be as concerned with the other receivers beating you. So it is a bit of a quagmire for the Longhorns, and it's why they're making some changes on the offensive line. I just know that Bijan Robinson, his stats have been great these last two games. It's taken a bit of a superhuman effort to get there. And in the second half of the game against Oklahoma, I think we finally saw it start to take its toll. Oklahoma was a better team at not only getting penetration than TCU, but also finishing those plays off in the second half. And Steve Sarkisian did not do enough in terms of trying to figure out other ways to get Bijan the ball. They sent him out of the backfield on that quick little swing route at times. Oklahoma covered it very well, and it feels like they didn't really try a whole lot else after that. Wouldn't be surprised if there's some extra wrinkles in the game plan this week to throw at Oklahoma State and getting Bijan the ball that we haven't seen in the previous few.
I'll give Steve Sarkisian a play he should steal. He should steal the fake to the running back, throw to the running back Kellen Moore showed us last week. He should steal that play for Bijan.
Oh, interesting.
Run it anywhere you want. Run it off your goal line. Run it into the goal line. Run it at midfield. What would a defense do if you play fake to Bijan and then turn your eyes to the other side of the field like you're looking for pass routes and he swings out a little wheel and then you just turn and kick it out to him? I love that idea for him. When I saw that play, I'm thinking, if you have any kind of running back, I just love that idea. It's so simple, but make them think about it real quick, then take their mind off of it, and then go right back.
And clear that side out to
right.
Where maybe there's safety help over the top, but hopefully there's a single high look going on. Yeah, I like that idea.
And at the very least, if one guy is on his keys and trusts his eyes and gets out there, well, you're going to see if Bijan Robinson can fake him out. Or stiff arm him to the ground in an embarrassing fashion like he did number five for Oklahoma.
Spoiler alert, he can and will do both those things.
Has anybody checked on number five for OU, by the way? There's a lot of storylines coming out of that game. Has anybody checked on his embarrassment level? Because that's one of the worst eat a stiff arms I've ever seen in my life. That dude got laid down.
Bijan just has a multitude of moves to get past people.
I enjoy when, like, the pros that do it all the time in broadcasting, I love when they're impressed. Mm-hmm. Listening to Kirk Herbstreit watch him was really cool.
I know it wasn't Kirk's first time to see him, but this is maybe the first time that he's realized just how good Bijan Robinson is.
And you've got Joel Klatt, who will be calling the game this week for Fox.
Gus Johnson calling Bijan is funny.
Yeah, Gus calling Bijan's going to be great because you know he'll get Bijan! He's going to get into it. Mm-hmm. Longhorn fans hope he'll get into it with those kind of calls.
Should Gus be dialing it down a little bit with the first couple touchdowns of the game? I mean, he really does go to 10 with every touchdown that occurs.
He cranks up, man. He does. And as a guy that always, anytime I've done any play-by-play, I crank up way too fast. But Gus has the fuel at the end I never have. He's amazing. His call of that 109-yard return in the NFL game, I thought he was going to die. I was like, is this his last breath? What is he about to do here? He always has enough reserve. But it is his funniest ones to me are the ones where you realize, okay, Gus, that was a 1st and 10, and they gained 4 yards. And there's like 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, man. Pace yourself, please. For all of our benefits, pace yourself. But back to Joel Klatt. Klatt, I saw him do an interview with Dennis De La Pena over at Fox. Shout out to local TV. They got him on an interview, and he asked him, do you think Bijan Robinson's one of the best running backs in America. He said,
who was he asking this of?
Joel Klatt.
Okay.
And Klatt said, I think he's the best player in America.
Yeah.
So he went two steps up right away. He didn't just say running back. He said, I think he's the best player in the game right now.
Didn't Herbstreit say something like that on the broadcast? May very well be the best player in America.
Yeah.
I think there's a strong argument for that. There are some good players this year. Bijan is as special as I've seen, not just in Texas, but in this conference in a while.
Yeah, and he's the key to every game. We thought he would be ultimately the key to if they were going to beat Oklahoma. But in this one, they've got to figure out a way to, what was it, 20 carries? But it was only one catch against Oklahoma. I think that number needs to find it, the total, somewhere around 25. It needs to be, that was a little bit low for me. Make it carries, make it
the
make
total
it the
touches.
Passes.
No,
yeah.
I'm with you on that. We talked at the beginning of the year, 20 to 25, depending on the matchup. But if it's a big enough matchup, you'd be okay with them going around or maybe even a little bit over 30. And then you also add in the 5 to 10 potential touches that you're giving him. And I think they do a good job of faking play action to Bijan on plays that are clearly not going to them. I honestly wish they would sell the play action a little bit better. It looks a little bit too lax at times. Mm-hmm. And you saw in the Oklahoma game, the Sooners stopped respecting the play action because Casey was doing such a terrible job of selling it, and they realized that they weren't going to Bijan a whole lot on second down, and they were also getting gouged in the passing attack as well. That's when Bijan had that big cutback run going to the north where he cuts back to the left and gets all the way down to technically the two, although I think it was the one, if not a touchdown. And then they started to respect it a little bit more. But then Oklahoma clued on Bijan in the second half, and you saw Texas fall behind the chains a lot on first down as a result. Credit to Grinch and that Sooners defense for really forcing their hand there.
Yeah, bad first down sometimes from the play. Sometimes those penalties were early in the drive.
Penalties hurt too, and Jake Majors had a couple of those. It was like snap infractions, which is not something we've seen out of him this year.
Yeah, those were bad too. Texas and Oklahoma State, 11 o'clock kick on Saturday. Again, Angalau now the left guard, right guard Tope Amade and Derek Kerstetter kicking out to right tackle again. The shakeups on the offensive line. We'll continue to talk about that game coming up at 1. Our weekly conversation with Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex himself from inside Texas. Get his thoughts on what happened against OU and what may happen against Oklahoma State. We've got a special interview coming up for you in the 2 o'clock hour today, talking some movies. In fact, talking a movie that's going to get its debut finally out in the theaters. Trey's going to be a part of a Q&A, and we're going to talk to the director and producer of a little movie called Hard Luck Love Song that Trey and I are both a big fan of, and it's coming up at 2:05. We're going to have the director and producer, and they also happen to be married, a couple, a movie couple in a different way, a behind-the-scenes movie couple.
Just awesome people as well, and they actually went to Nashville for a viewing of this film because it is based on the Todd Snyder song, and there were some really cool names out there that they got to rub elbows with and hear really positive things about people who just love this film.
Well, that's good. We'll just have name drop to start off with.
There's some that I recognize, but I'm not as big a fans of. I know that you are going to have a hard time with a few of the people that they bring up that they've hung out with recently.
Cool. I want to hear all those stories. All right, that's coming up at 2. Up next, J.D. Lewis helps you and Trey with fantasy football. The number is 337-3776. The Specs text line is open and ready for you. If you need fantasy football help, J.D. Lewis is going to try to provide it coming up on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Ah, all right. It is Thursday. Isaiah Collier is producing. That means the music could go anywhere. And he's starting with a cool, spooky white dude, Mark Knopfler, and Dire Straits with the Sultans of Swing. You are grooving to this one. It's a great little tune.
Yo, man, this is one of those, I'm just driving in the country, don't have a care in the world, top down, let the hair fly, type of track.
Does your hair fly?
I can get a little nappy, I'll say that.
Okay.
This is, a lot of people go
not
with,
because it can't, just because it's so short. My hair doesn't fly either.
Yeah.
It's just like, there's a tiny
you.
Flutter. Just a tiny flutter.
I can remember being in the family car, driving down the road, first time I ever heard this song. Just something about this song, it's hypnotic. This is the first Dire Straits tune I ever heard. It's always been my favorite. Great musicianship there. You can hear Knopfler, what a brilliant guitar player he is. The drums are incredible in that song. It's just such a, you're right, cool, chill out, in a car kind
of
song.
Can I make a request for the rest of the music today, Zay? Because I respect the hell out of your music opinions. I'd love to hear what your just chill out on a road trip or at the beach or something playlist sounds like.
There we go.
All right.
Isaiah, chill out, road trip, beach music.
That song is definitely on it, as you just said, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And I've never
yeah.
thought about that one before. That song should be on mine, and I think it's going to be now after today.
You know, Kevin Dunn, one of his favorite songs in the world, is So Far Away From Me by Dire Straits.
So far, yeah, I can see that.
Now, our next guest.
Which one's the Checks for Free?
That's Money for Nothing.
There we go.
Our next guest actually has a favorite song that I still remember to this day.
Candlebox.
I'm assuming it hasn't changed because he believes it's the greatest song ever written, ever. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Before he talks fantasy football, let's just double check. J.D. Lewis, Far Behind by Candlebox, still the greatest song ever?
Well, you know, it never gets old, so how can it not be?
Now, maybe.
Every time I stumble across it on the radio, you know, it's on most of my playlists, and it comes across, and I just always feel great. And now I always think about you, Chad.
Damn right.
I love Cover Me, too, for what it's worth, JD.
Cover Me was good.
Yeah, yeah, the few good ones from those guys, but not nearly, you know, well known, but that one is very good as well.
All yes. right, let's get into the selfish questioning for the week, JD. Tent City Hobos suffered defeat for the first time all season last week, thanks to Jonathan Taylor getting more than 13 points on his very first carry, so I didn't have to watch the rest of Monday Night Football, but got to move on and get ready for that next matchup. Got a couple buys this week, which has opened up a wide receiver spot. Again, this is a half PPR league, so which second receiver should I start opposite DJ Moore between Michael Pittman and Jacoby Myers?
I think right now, as hot as Michael Pittman has been, I would probably stick with him. He's looked really solid, had a very high floor. And as much as I like Myers, the guy just can't seem to get in the end zone. So, you know, half point PPR is kind of a little bit of the differentiator, because I think if it was a full point, you might go Myers, but I prefer to go with the guy that's got the higher upside for touchdowns. But you do want to track the T.Y. Hilton news and see if he does actually end up getting activated off the IR. And if he plays in the game, I don't expect him to have a ton of chemistry with Wentz, but it could potentially take away a little bit from Pittman. But Wentz and Pittman seem to have a pretty good connection, so I would go Pittman there.
RB2, Daryl Henderson or Joe Mixon?
That one's a tough one. I think the matchup is so good for Mixon, and I think with Samaje Perine being on the COVID list and probably not playing this week makes me lean towards Mixon. Who's in your flex that you can't play Henderson in the flex?
Well, that was my next question. The other one ends up in the flex. So my second flex spot, though, I've got just a boatload of running backs right now. Devontae Booker or Zach Moss for that other flex spot?
So you have two flexes. So Henderson will go into a flex, and then you've got another flex spot?
Yeah, for Zach Moss or Devontae Booker.
Look, I don't like the matchup for Booker, but I'm sure he'll get the goal line carries and the bulk of the work, and he'll catch a few balls. But is Jacoby Myers not an option there over Booker?
No, he is. Is Jacoby Myers better than either of those running backs?
I would strongly consider Jacoby Myers there. I don't think Moss, I'm still not. It's week to week. You don't know what you're going to get out of Zach Moss, and so I like the play, but I think that Myers is the higher floor. So as good as your team is, do you need the upside or do you need the floor?
That's a great point. I'd never thought about that. I always reach for the upside, but I think I'm going to go floor here. Thank you for that.
Wow, got existential there. You good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
JD, before I help everybody else, just a question that came out of that discussion. Have they come up with a fantasy football that's just all flex, no rules, everybody get out of the way? Just every position's flex.
Not every position, no, but there's definitely leagues where, you know, you have to start like a quarterback, and then you could then have seven flex spots that you get to decide between running back or receiver or tight end. Theoretically, you could do that. I just don't know why you would, because that takes away a lot of the strategy. Now you're just chasing points and not having the strategy of positional availability in terms of just kind of, you know, the running back room dries up a lot faster than receiver room, and so it puts a priority on those guys. So, you know, that, I feel like it would just be kind of dumbing down a little bit of league, and so if you're a noob, then yeah, go for it.
Fair enough. All right, that was a proper insult to my question. All right, let's help the let's go back to helping the real folks in fantasy football. PPR, got to start 2 of 3, Mooney, OBJ, Renfro.
Well, I mean, right now you got to start Renfro at least. And so I would go Mooney. You got to track the injury. I think he's got a groin issue. He's had it for a while. It hadn't slowed him down. But I just right now, OBJ doesn't seem to have any timing, you know, really with Baker. And so he could just put up a total dud. And so I'm actually going to bench OBJ until he actually finally shows up or gets traded.
Man, this is deep level flex, kind of what you were at, or deep level league, Chad, something you may have been asking for. Super flex league, full PPR. I have Mahomes as QB1, lost Russell Wilson last week. Best QB available is Wentz. Should I pick him up or start Sutton or Marvin Jones Jr.?
Jeez.
Yeah, you pick up Wentz. Wentz still, as in your super flex position, is going to offer you higher upside. I mean, anytime you can get, I'm honestly surprised that a guy of Wentz's caliber is available in a super flex league. And so, I would pick him up and start him in that super flex position because, I mean, a bad game, like a really bad game for a quarterback, is still like 15 points. And from a positional player, that's a decent game. You take that. And so the upside is a lot better. And you just want the guy that's touching the ball on every play versus, you know, what can happen to the positional players.
All right, JD, let's go running backs here. Devontae Booker or Myles Gaskin, full PPR?
Oh, boy. I think that Myles Gaskin flashed. It was a really weird game script, but he finally had a decent game. He still didn't get many carries. I don't like the matchup for Booker all that much. I think his upside is only like 10 to 13 points. And so, you know, that's I'm going to go ahead. This is a really tough one, but I'm going to go ahead and lean towards Booker just because I think he's going to be getting a lot of goal line work.
Would you trade Ja'Marr Chase for James Robinson or Daryl Henderson Jr.? This is a no PPR league.
Yeah, because of the, it sounds like you probably need a running back, and there's a premium on running backs like that. And so, I would definitely consider that, especially if you have a little depth. Now, if your drop off at your next wide receiver spot's, you know, massive, you have to reconsider it. But yeah, standard league, running backs are king, touchdowns are king, goal line carries is what matters. I'd probably do the deal for either one of them, to be honest.
All right, Trey, if you already read this one as I read it, let me know. It says, injuries have really haunted me over the last couple weeks. No, okay. Need help at wide receiver 2 and the flex, half PPR. Got to choose 2. Julio Jones, Sterling Shepard, Zach Ertz, James Conner, and Khalil Herbert. 2 of those.
So, assuming that Julio goes, I think you have to have him in there. And then the Sterling Shepard is the other one that jumps out to me. Now, again, we're expecting him back this week. He's probably, I mean, I don't know yet if he's going to be shadowed by Ramsey. There's a opposite corner in L.A. that is a little banged up, and if he doesn't go, they may alter their strategy with Ramsey. I don't know if that means he covers one side or if he continues to shadow. But either way, I think that Galladay's not likely to play. And I believe that you're going to have basically Kadarius Toney and Sterling Shepard doing most of the work. And whichever one Ramsey is guarding, I like the other one more. But, you know, Sterling has been lining up on the outside. Ramsey's been covering the corners of the slot a bunch. And so I lean and like Sterling Shepard unless some bad news comes out and he doesn't trend towards playing.
Half PPR, this is a flex spot. Damian Williams, Dawson Knox, or Michael Pittman Jr.?
Ooh, so it's Dawson Knox I'd take out of there. In the flex spot, I'd still prefer Damian Williams or Michael Pittman. I'm a guy that just prefers to go the running back in that spot, and especially if T.Y. Hilton does come back this week, you know, I feel like that could affect Pittman a little bit. And so I would go ahead and bench Pittman there and go Damian Williams.
All right. This one says 12-team PPR, need a wide receiver and a flex. Antonio Brown, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dalton Schultz.
Ooh, I like those options. So how many am I picking?
It says they need a wide receiver and a flex, so you need 2 of those 4.
So, I mean, I I don't know how, like, A.J. Brown has been so disappointing, but he's just a guy that if he's active and playing, he's going to be in my lineup. And then I really like Devontae Smith this week. I think that's going to be a game where the Eagles are going to have to, or really it's tonight, because, you know, they're going to have to pass a lot. That's where the Buccaneers can be susceptible. I think you could end up with a fairly high scoring game. The Eagles don't want to run the ball anyway, so they're going to pass it a bunch. The, you know, Bucs will pass plenty. The clock will stop a lot. So I think that could turn into a very high scoring game. And so I would lean towards Devontae Smith there.
All right.
PPR league, pick one: Amari Cooper, Kadarius Toney, or Brandon Cooks.
Pick one: Amari Cooper again, assuming that he's active and you don't have any issues with you know, with the hammy or anything like that. I'm having a hard time benching Amari right now because even his below average games are 60 yards and a touchdown on, you know, five receptions. So like that's, I'll take that all day long.
Talking fantasy football with J.D. Lewis. J.D., trade proposal. Trade Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Lockett. Wait, sorry. Trade for Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Lockett. I'm giving up Mixon and Montgomery. Should I do it?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd rather hold on to Mixon and have Montgomery when he gets back healthy. You know, it's Montgomery and Edwards-Helaire basically on kind of the same timetable there. And I just prefer to have Montgomery as the kind of focal point of his offense versus Edwards-Helaire, who's been solid. He's been fine. He scored some touchdowns. You know, he's got 100 yards in a couple games. Like, he's been good for that team, but it's still, that team is focused on Mahomes.
Half PPR league, injuries and byes are killing me. Need to start two here. Jalen Reagor, Khalif Raymond, or Khalil Herbert? Khalil Herbert.
Did he say two of those?
Yes.
So I believe Khalil Herbert is the second running back in Chicago.
Wow. Never heard that name before.
Yeah, he's splitting time with Damian Williams, and he's a rookie. But, you know, they did use him. The way that they use Montgomery and Damian Williams is kind of a 70-30 type split. They're kind of in a 65-35 or 60-40 type share right now between Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert. So no good options, but, you know, obviously when you preface the question with injuries and five, I got some teams I can relate with on that. So I have to pick how many of those guys?
Two of three.
Oh, gosh. Say him again.
Jalen Reagor, Khalif Raymond, who I've also never heard of before, and Khalil Herbert.
Detroit Lions. Or no, wait, no. Khalif Raymond is, yeah, isn't he playing for Detroit? I think he's with the Lions. He's a little speedster.
I refuse to look that up.
Yeah, and Quintez Cephas broke his collarbone, so he's going to get some more run. And, you know, he's kind of a gadget guy. But in given that situation right there, yeah, I feel like I've gotten burned enough times on Jalen Reagor, but again, I mentioned high-scoring game, lots of passes, so I'm probably going to stick Jalen Reagor in there tonight, and then I will probably lean towards Khalil Herbert having kind of a game where he at least gets in the end zone, maybe has 60 yards and a touchdown.
That was just such a sick display of JD's brilliance with all of this.
It was. Yeah, that was a test that he did not want, but he eventually got through it. JD, I'll try to go in with an easier one. Wide receiver two, Robert Woods or Brandon Cooks?
Robert Woods. I think after this past week, they showed a commitment to getting the ball to him, and so I'm going to go ahead and kind of ride him right now. And look, while I like Cooks and he's getting a massive target share in his offense, he had like two receptions for 6 yards for three quarters against the Patriots. And I mean, they definitely take out the one guy you have, but I think Davis Mills is inconsistent. So in that situation, I would bench Cooks.
All right, JD, and before we let you go, I'm going to assume this means to face you for a big bag of money. 3-point contest, Brandy Perryman or Sid Mill Harris?
Wait, to face me? I'd much rather face Brandy Perryman because
no.
I already know I'm not in great shape, but I think I could outlast him. I'm sure Sid Mill's still in fantastic shape and could run circles around me. When I say 3-point contest, I'm assuming like a, you know, NBA, we got five balls a rack, ball, we got, you know, minute and a half to shoot because it's exhausting.
I'm saying prime on prime, Brandy Perryman or Sid Mill Harris, who wins that contest?
Oh, between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and prime on prime, Brandy, man. That's what he did.
And
that's what he did, man.
He's close to 50%. I think he was close to 50% from behind the arc.
There you
which
go.
Which is sick.
And then
when you start taking a defender away, it gets silly with
yeah.
that can shoot like that.
And then
Tisdale can shoot over people.
And then Brandy Perryman in his prime against J.D. Lewis in his prime. Who wins that battle for all the money?
I mean, I'm never not betting on myself in a three-point contest.
Yes, you know, Kevin Durant
couldn't beat my record. Daniel Gibson said I was the best shooter in the world. It was kind of a misspeak at Big Media Day, but I was very flattered by that. So, you know, I'll take those all day.
That is awesome. And this text says Candlebox still holds up. So it's all there. Yep. J.D. Lewis. If you didn't get your fantasy question answered, go to Twitter and go at J.D. Lewis FF for fantasy football. At J.D. Lewis FF, and he will try to help you out. J.D., we appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, J.D. Good stuff. Every Thursday, right about 12:30 is when we've been doing it lately with J.D. and hopefully helping your fantasy teams. Has he been helping the Tent City Hobos overall? Are you getting good advice?
Oh, he's been providing incredible help.
Good.
It's just, God, it's so silly. Some of the random names. I literally never heard of those two guys. And he's like, this person has this role for Chicago and this person does this for Detroit.
I said Khalil Herbert a couple questions before that when you asked. I, too, had never heard of him. And J.D. just kept going, like I said, Ezekiel Elliott.
Why stumbled over? Because I'm like, wait, did this person accidentally write Khalil when they meant Justin? Seems like a rare, random mistype there, but you never know.
Yeah, it was unreal. All right, coming up at 1:05, back to the Longhorn discussion with Paul Wadlington, Scipio Tex of Inside Texas. Up next in the crap bag, I'll try to fight back a little bit against prisoners of the moment, because I think we had one of those stories in the last week or so. That's up next. Stay with us. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Wow. All right. So. My goodness.
Another chill song here.
All right. So, Isaiah started with some Dire Straits.
Can I guess this one?
Sultan's a Swing. Please do.
Maroon 5.
Very good.
I got it?
You got it.
Thanks, kids, for making me listen to that one Maroon 5 song over and over again.
There's many examples of it. This is an example of how, if you let him, Adam Levine will crawl inside your brain. And he'll leave a song there that will never leave.
The Moves Like Jagger song, I probably find myself whistling or humming it twice a week.
This is a great example of one of those just, yeah. It's such a nice little groove. Nothing threatening about the song. It's just it's catchy. It ain't corny. Like, it checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
All right, so Trey has challenged Isaiah. He wants to hear the chill out driving list. Isaiah's just out for a drive. He's got some Dire Straits and Maroon 5 ready to roll. We'll see what else he's got.
Yo, man, that is the jam. Adam is so influential. He made J.J. Redick, who weirdly looks a lot like Adam Levine,
he kinda does.
Yeah.
Get tattoos because he looks so good with his tattoos.
Is that right?
Yes. J.J. Redick tweeted, man, Adam Levine looks good. His tattoos, I'm feeling those tattoos.
Yeah.
Like 2 years later, J.J. had a sleeve a lot like Adam's.
Wait, he copied him?
Yeah, a little bit.
Adam Levine's way high on my list of, like, guys that just make me feel bad about myself when I see him. Just everything about him, like, good God, that guy's attractive.
Mm-hmm.
How is he doing that? And I went to the show. My wife and I went and saw Maroon 5 out at Coda. That dude commanding a stage is phenomenal.
Yeah, when he got the tattoos and started taking the shirt off, it's like, come on.
Dude.
Man. You already have this voice. You have to do all this. Like, you're being a little extra right now.
He's rocking this like old Hawaiian shirt that looks like he's found it at Goodwill. And if I tried to put it on, everyone would laugh. But he's got it opened and the no shirt underneath and the tats and the sweat and the tan. And every woman at Coda is losing their mind. Everything he says, every word, every syllable. He's so sexy. The opening act talked about how sexy he was. Kelly Clarkson. Kelly Clarkson, two songs from being done, went, trust me, ladies, I know. I'll be done in just a few minutes. I totally know what you're waiting for. That's how attractive Adam Levine is.
How long ago was this?
I'm going to say 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Something like that. Have not seen him recently, but they keep churning it out. Every time my daughter says, here's new Maroon 5, like, oh, yeah, there it is. That's catchy as hell. That thing is so catchy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, more from Isaiah's chill out driving list coming up a little later. Right now, though, let's see if we can not be prisoners of the moment in the crap bag, shall we?
Chad's Crap Bag.
Crap Bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. We still got Tom McKay for Hockey Breakdown tomorrow at 12:30.
Yes, we do.
He's in for that?
Yes, he is. He's going to tell us a little bit about the Texas Stars season as well. That right. gets going this weekend at the HEB Center in Cedar Park, Saturday and Sunday games.
Beautiful.
You can go to texasstars.com to get tickets if you like.
So maybe it's because I did a radio show with Kevin Dunn for around 10 years. He's one of those people that does not like the prisoner of the moment vibe. He likes to chill out, take a step back, and really look at it. So this week, when I heard more and more people declare clearly and easily, that's the best Texas OU game I've ever seen. That's the greatest Texas OU game ever played. That game, it was just, and I remember thinking, not the feeling I had walking out, but I'll let it simmer and see what happens. You know what happened with that game? I think some people Super Bowl 53'd themselves into believing that it had to be the greatest Texas OU game ever played.
Falcons, Pats?
Exactly. Mm. That game, after that game, that was the greatest Super Bowl ever played.
A very boring game through the first three quarters.
Yeah, I can't give that Super Bowl credit for being the best. Just like for me, I'm never going to give that Texas OU game credit for being the best Texas OU I've ever seen. For me, and for many of you, I believe it's okay if we still go back to 08. Because I've heard 08 just get thrown away. Oh, it's definitely better than 08. Whoa, so calm down. Stop.
No.
That was number 5 against number 1. That was Colt and Sam. And you know what didn't happen in 08? A run defense give up 330-something yards. I'm never going to think that's the best. You know what else didn't happen in 08? A team got down 21 points and then yacked it up and lost. That didn't happen. Also, a team didn't come out as flat as OU did. How pathetic was the start of that game for OU? And you want me to get to the end of that classic rivalry I've seen many versions of and go, oh yeah, that's absolutely, calm down, take a breath. You can do whatever you want. You can think whatever you want. But for me, please leave 08 where it was, because that was a badass game. In that game, I ended up seeing, by the way, the loser of that game went and played for the national title. Was it unfair? Yes. Did Texas get screwed by computers? Yes. Those were two badass football teams on a level that I don't think we had in 2021. I'll still go with 08. Do not let them prisoner of the moment you just because they saw an exciting finish. Don't trap yourself into that.
More entertaining than Falcons-Patriots. We can agree on that.
Yep, absolutely. No doubt.
The first qualification for Longhorn fans for the best Texas OU game of all time does have to be Texas winning the game, Chad.
Now, that'd be something else I'd point out.
I can understand
right?
an unbiased viewer who doesn't have a dog in that fight believing that may be the greatest game in that the history of that series.
Right.
But for Texas fans, if you're saying that was the greatest Texas OU game of all time, it's like the same group that was saying they would rather lose to Oklahoma than Oklahoma State last week. Somebody needs to check your head. You need to reprioritize.
Because I'm guessing, you're right, most fans are going to pick a game that their team won. And in this case, I'm still giving you one, Longhorn fans, that you found a way to win and pull an upset. And it was a classic. The biggest lead was 11 in that game, back and forth and all the theater of it. I'm still taking that. I'm taking all. And then if you want to do the presentation part of it, if you want to show me the TV version, I get Brent Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit. And I'm sorry, Brent was awesome that day. And, you know, obviously you want to grab Craig's radio call. I'm sure it was epic back in 08. But come on now. Let's not get too silly. That's just me. Again, you can think however you want, but I'm not going to give. When you have that kind of comeback, I'm not giving you the credit for being a great game. And I'm sorry, giving up 330 yards on the ground, that doesn't make it a great football game to me. That's just me. When Ricky stepped all over OU that day, that's not a great football game. That's Ricky's game, but that doesn't make it a great game. He whipped somebody. Just me. I'll still go with 08. I thought that was a damn good game. This past Saturday certainly was entertaining, on top of entertaining, but that doesn't necessarily make it a great football game. All right, so there you go. Just some thoughts. I've been hearing it all week. I do think there is still, at least that I've seen, a better Texas OU game. Longhorns trying to rebound and get ready for Oklahoma State. Up next, Paul Wadlington, Skippy O Tex himself from Inside Texas on 3.com and the EGAT podcast. We'll get his thoughts on it. How disappointed was he that the Longhorns gave up that lead, and how does he think it translates into this game with Oklahoma State? Don't move. Plus, at 1:30, we've got our Supreme picks last week. Isaiah's presence once again helped and got us to a 4-1 record. Heck, if that kid from Cincinnati'd hit a kick, we'd been 5-0. We had it. We'll see what Isaiah thinks of this week's games, and we'll make our Supreme picks, brought to you by Supreme Lending and Chris Waters Realty, coming up at 1:30. Don't move. It's the Horn.